This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
The UK is still working through the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, which disproportionately impacted blind and partially sighted people across the country. RNIB is taking part in the COVID inquiry, and for an update, I'm joined now by Sophie Dudgeon, Head of Policy and Campaigns for RNIB. Sophie, welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
The COVID inquiry has been ongoing for several months now, with multiple stages. How are things progressing?
The inquiry has opened some time ago, and it's working through different topics about the pandemic in sequence. And it's about to have its public hearings on its third module. So it's already looked at preparedness and issued a report on that in the summer, highlighting lots of challenges and problems with the way the whole of the UK was sort of set up to respond to a crisis like this. And then it looked at decision making. So there'll be a report on decision making before long. And this third module, it's going to look at healthcare. So it's how the pandemic impacted people's access to healthcare and provision of healthcare, and also how the response to the pandemic affected people as well.
And what do we know so far about some of the latest findings from the third module?
So this third module has been taking lots of evidence, and its public hearings open this Monday, the 9th of September. So this module is going to be talking to lots of experts from this sort of second week of September right through to the last week of November. And it will be talking to lots of sort of medical experts, different decision makers, and RNIB itself will be part of a group of charities, Disability Charities Consortium. That's 9 national disability charities. We are part of this inquiry officially. So that does mean that Matt Stringer, our Chief Executive Officer, will be actually representing that group of charities to the inquiry at some point, and will give evidence in person and be able to really talk about the unequal impact that the virus and the response to it had on disabled people.
How important is it for RNIB to be sort of front and centre, really, and taking a lead in this inquiry?
This is absolutely critical for us. We spent a lot of time and effort taking part in the inquiry so far, and we really want to make the most of this opportunity. The official data is really gloomy and stark. It shows that the rates of death for those with a vision impairment aged 30 to 69 were actually 8.4 times higher than those for people without any sensory impairment at all. Even after adjusting for things like age, geography and health, rates of death were still 1.4 times higher than for people without any sight or hearing loss. So, you know, frankly, people died in disproportionate numbers. We also know that a report has estimated that nearly 3,000 people lost their vision as a result of all those changes in healthcare. If you remember how difficult it was for people to get GP appointments, get referrals to hospital, all the different changes and disruption it had to our lives. And then lastly, the big thing that we've always talked a great deal about is the inaccessibility of things. So inaccessible health information came out. There were people, lots of blind and partially sighted people received advice on shielding or invitations to vaccination sessions, which they simply couldn't read. They weren't in the right format for those people. So we know that, you know, there were some real injustices, and we're concerned that if there was another pandemic or another crisis in, you know, the months or years ahead, would things actually be that much different? We need to make sure that blind and partially sighted people are listened to right from the start when policy changes are made, and that we really understand what it was that meant that people were more vulnerable to the virus and those mortality figures.
During previous stages of the inquiry, RNIB offered people different ways of sharing their feedback online and through the RNIB helpline. What's the response been like?
There will be a report that comes out with this module of the inquiry. I believe it will probably be published next week, which is about all the kind of personal experiences people have shared with the inquiry to do with healthcare. So for all the different modules coming up, there will be a kind of report about people's experiences. And it will be really interesting to see in that how blind and partially sighted people's experiences come through. We know that lots of people have got involved. There were some in-person and virtual sessions that blind and partially sighted people could take part in that our regional campaigns team ran earlier this year. So once those things are published, it will be very interesting to see what comes through. But it is very important that people do take part because the inquiry will sort of funnel those experiences into these different modules. So anything you say about health will go into this module, but anything people say about sort of education, for instance, or social isolation, mental health issues, lots of people felt they lost a lot of independence. All those kinds of issues will be funneled through to the different parts of the inquiry that are yet to come.
And what's next for the inquiry?
So the inquiry will hold these hearings on healthcare right through until November, and at some point in 2025 we'd anticipate its recommendations to come out in terms of access to healthcare and the things that we've been talking about in terms of disabled people and blind and partially sighted people. It will then move on to its next topics, so there will be a really thorough investigation of the impact of the pandemic and the response to it on care homes. There will be a look at PPE, if you remember all that took over our lives, didn't it, for a while, masks and getting the right PPE in hospitals. That has its own investigation, and there's going to be a look at testing, the test and trace system. Obviously, we know that was very inaccessible. Creating accessible COVID tests was something that RNIB's policy team worked on for many months with the Department for Health and Social Care. So we've got lots to say about that. And it did take many months to create an improved and more accessible test with the Department for Health and Social Care. And then there's definitely also an inquiry module that will look at the impact on children and young people and their education and mental health. So lots of really important topics to come. I think what's good is that they have started generating these reports. So we had that first report out in the summer on its findings about preparedness. I think the inquiry does want to kind of make sure it gets its recommendations out and about, because it's going to take a few years really to get through the rest of the modules, but we want to make sure these things are implemented, that we get changes established, and there is a monitoring process that they've announced that we'll be following to make sure that they do start setting up the different kind of responses that have been recommended.
And how can listeners to RNIB Connect Radio get involved or show their support for the next stages of the inquiry?
Well, RNIB on Monday the 9th of September will be releasing a short film that will be accessible on our website, showcasing some people's experiences during the pandemic, and we'll also have some social media posts which we'd love people to share, because I think for the wider public and decision makers, it's actually not something they've necessarily thought that much about. There's been lots of discussion about the impact of the pandemic, but I do think disabled people's experiences have been somewhat hidden and haven't really been talked about. I think they really deserve a lot of attention. We need to make sure those stories are heard and people understand, oh yeah, how could you social distance if you don't have a vision? How are you expected to get your shopping when the grocery slots were suddenly cancelled and only available to people who were deemed clinically vulnerable? So I think there's lots and lots of things where people's experiences haven't really been fully understood and heard, and we need to make the most of this opportunity to make sure that those changes are implemented in future.
Sophie Dudgeon, Head of Policy and Campaigns for RNIB. Thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.